All right, why don't we roll out of respect for everybody's time here.
Okay. All right. I will do the roll call. Eric Simon.
Here.
Beth Chang.
Here.
Carrie McLean.
Here.
Susan Charette.
Here.
Shannon Roberts. Lauren Behan. Ellie Raitt. Charlotte Meyer. Luke Gilfillan.
Looks like Luke's on without video.
Yeah, he was on a minute ago, so.
Yeah, he was on.
Luke, if you're there, you're muted.
Charles Rozier. Okay, there's no public comments. So I'll just go ahead and go to the meeting minutes.
Luke sent a message that he can't hear anything, so he's going
to. Oh, okay. I just saw that. Yeah, okay.
Thanks, Susan.
I just let him back in. Any comments on the meeting minutes?
Hey, Will, can you hear us?
Here, you're on mute, Luke.
You can hear us.
Well, I had one tiny thing on the minutes, John, just in the section about the community or communications and education. The very last sentence is sort of like a half sentence. It's not a complete sentence and refers to like energy usage and stuff. And I think you can just delete it because something similar is said earlier in the paragraph.
Okay, it was the last sentence in which section?
The section on community education.
And,
sorry, I don't have it open.
That's a personal greenhouse sentence there.
About the personal calculator, you should leave that in, but. Right,
providing options to residents for different ways to reduce their energy. That's the last sentence.
Yeah, it's a sentence fragment.
Yeah, I never learned full sentences. So.
Yeah, it's the one that starts providing options to residents for different ways to reduce their energy usage or consumption in a variety of ways.
I do see that now. Thank you.
You already said something similar earlier up, so I think you could just take it out. Thank you so much for doing these minutes. I know it's really hard, and it's a big. It's really nice for us commissioners not to have to rotate the way we used to. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Okay, so,
all right,
I will turn it over to the new chairperson, Eric Simon.
Yay, Eric. We should give you a gavel or something.
is Lisa coming tonight or no?
Yeah, so Lisa will be, she texted us that she's going to be late because of a work thing. So, and that's a good kind of segue into Lisa's role. So, you know, from the beginning, we've always technically had a trustee liaison, and we had one for the first probably year and a half, 2 years of the commission, but that liaison did not join the meetings. But I think on other commissions, correct me if I'm wrong, John, the trustee actually joins the meetings. So,
yeah, I think it depends on the commission, but I think maybe half the time they do, half the time they don't, that kind of thing.
Cool. Okay, so for us, so Lisa is going to join us. So obviously she's going to be our trustee liaison, which is great because that's, you know, obviously a natural fit for us. So she will be joining all the meetings when she can, and will, you know, participate in whatever way is kind of helpful for us, the commissioners. I really love that because for obvious reasons, you know, the biggest one being you know, we kind of, our agenda is directly connected to what the needs of the trustees are. And so if we can have that direct connection, it just makes things a lot smoother. And an example of that is like this community solar thing requires a ton of trustee work. And so we can kind of liaise directly through Lisa on that, and it's just going to make it a lot smoother. So, I mean, I'll talk about that later. So that's awesome. I'm psyched about that. I know you guys are psyched about that. And you know, I'm gonna reach out to all you guys between now and the next meeting, just to kind of hook up, find out what kind of feedback you have, as well as to be frank, get myself more up to speed on what you guys are working on. I mean, I'm on the meetings. I know at worst at a high level what you're all working on, and I don't have the capacity or intelligence to know, you know, in a lot of detail what everyone's working on. But I need to better support you guys on that. So I will reach out when I can between now and the next meeting, so between now and next month. So nothing really should change, right? I mean, you know, Lisa's still going to be helping us. My role is really just to kind of keep things moving and make sure you guys have the tools and resources you need to continue the work that we're doing, as well as progress our work, so that the next person that takes over can just kind of keep rolling with it. All right. So we can hop into commissioner reports. I'm just going to go in the order of how my screen is here, if that's okay. So Beth, you are, because you're outside and it looks so nice.
Let's see. Okay. I don't think that I've been to any like group meetings or anything like that. The only thing I'll report, because it's not really an agenda item otherwise, is that I have been in touch with Ellie and Charles, both of whom are not here right now, but they are working on the Tree Trails 2.0 idea that was discussed at the last meeting. They, Lisa provided introductions to people at both Triton and the Park District. I got them connected with Nick Tyra, the graphic designer. I think last time we met, there was some question of did we feel like we needed to pay him, but I reached out to him and explained we have a lot of resident volunteers, asked if he would continue in that capacity. He graciously agreed to do so. So one thing is that for the Tree Trails 1.0, he's just given us a version without a date on it. So it can be, you know, on the website to be used anytime by anybody. It can be shared as a block party activity, but it just won't look like it's out of date. And he met with Ellie and Charles last Thursday morning. I wasn't able to join them, but I'm sure we'll be hearing an update. I think the general idea was that I kind of mentored Ellie pretty closely last summer on how to do this. And so now she's kind of mentoring Charles, you know, how do you take like an idea and turn it into a real thing? So I expect to kind of keep in touch with them on their progress, and I'm excited to see what they come up with.
Who was the person, Beth, that you were working with? Was the Triton person or the park?
Well, Lisa provided introductions to people at Triton and at the Park District for Ellie and Charles to reach out to, in terms of like, here's this thing we'd like to produce that you can use. If you give me a minute, I
think he was asking for the name of the graphic designer.
Oh, the graphic designer?
Right.
The graphics designer, his name is Nick, N-I-C-K, Tyra, T-A-I-R-A.
Okay, Nick Tyra. Okay, thanks.
All right, thank you, Beth. Susan, you look like you're enjoying summer right there as well, so.
I am. I love it out here. Yeah, so I attended the monthly Planet Green meeting May 19th, and we were joined by Vicki Skaman, the newly elected village president, which was pretty awesome. And she, you know, talked quite a bit about how high a priority sustainability issues are for her. So that's going to be exciting to see. Oak Park gets $10,000 a month in revenue from their plastic bag tax. As she said, she wishes it were less because they wish people use reusable bags, but it does give them a nice income to apply to sustainability issues.
Does that 100% get applied to sustainability?
I think that's the idea, but I don't know if that's what happens in
impact. How much did you say it is, Susan?
$10,000 a month in revenue.
That's 100,000 plastic bags a month at 10 cents each. And whenever I am over there, it's always not just one. They give them a bunch and then, you know, maybe charge. Wow. That's a lot of plastic bags.
That's unfortunate, but.
It's also, a significant source if they can reinvest that, right? That's wow.
Maybe get people to use that. And let's see, there are other, as I mentioned earlier, there's a focus on reaching out to other communities. We got an update on that. Update on Illinois Solar for All program. I don't know if I've ever talked about that, but this is a state program that incentivizes installers to target lower income households. And Planet Green is reaching out to people in both Austin and I believe Maywood to see if they can do some collaborations. Really nice part of that program is there's an emphasis on training, so it's also a jobs creation program. And then the most relevant thing for River Forest is I learned, well, Concordia University has a new president, Dr. Russell Dawn, and it was mentioned in passing that Concordia is purchasing 100% renewable through RECs. So I'm trying to get a number on that for Shannon and Beth so that we can, we just have to verify that their electricity goes into our totals. If it does, there's no reason we couldn't include that in addition to Dominicans. So
that would be great.
Yeah. And so then the only other thing going on is the National Wildlife Foundation certified wildlife habitat, which I've been working on with the resident who joined us in March, David Hoyt, who's very motivated to do this. And what he's been focusing on, and I've been helping him, is getting Roosevelt School to be a schoolyard habitat. So we've had several projects over there. I planted raised beds with some seventh grade students of Mr. Cadillac's last week. And if all goes well, there'll be a pumpkin patch. And we kind of planted with a view towards the fall since they're gonna be out of school. But he has a summer school class that's gonna help in the watering. And so it's kind of exciting. And then David is working on extending that native plants. And we added elements of water, which is one of the requirements for the schoolyard habitat. So that's pretty exciting, and we're just rolling along. I have a Zoom call tomorrow with somebody from the National Wildlife Federation, and we're about 75% towards being registered. There's all these different hurdles. That's the first one, so it's exciting and keeps chugging along. Oh, and then today I met with at Lincoln School, which actually does have a certified schoolyard habitat, but briefly there, it looked like they were in danger of losing it due to lack of support. It looks like that has stabilized, but they had a really nice group of people there who are willing to work on the gardens, led by Alexis Murphy. And so it was just nice to see all the things that they're doing at Lincoln School. That's it.
That's great.
Actually, okay. I had one more note from Lincoln School today, which was, I introduced myself as being on sustainability, and one person had a request, which I thought it was a good one. They said on the bioswales, it would be nice if we could somehow identify the plants that were in there. So it would have an educational component to it as well. So somebody who wants to create a rain garden might look to that as a way to do that. So maybe we can, at some point in the future, we could talk about the best way to do that. You look confused, Beth. Do you see what I'm saying?
Sorry, I wasn't confused about what you were saying. I was confused about something going on in the background here.
Okay.
All right, Susan, thank you. Carrie?
Let's see. I do have, I put it out there where Healthy Lawns, Healthy Families would get a picture in the newsletter for the block that had the most participants. So I tracked them all from the list that we have. And then one of them happens to be just a couple blocks down from me, but I noticed not all of them had their signs out. And then I had one lady contact, I forget what block she was on, but she got two of her neighbors to join in. And so I've reached out to some of the people and it's like the signs aren't out. So do I go by signs or do I go by participants that are just on the list? What do you think?
I think for sure participants, because like, you know, I know several people who do it, but don't have their signs up. Like I'm actually one of them right now.
Right. But, you know, I send out an email every year because I don't know if people have left and if new people are in the house, you know, and if I don't get a response, then I'm in the dark. I don't know.
That's a good point.
Except only the people who have the sign out. So I just don't know what to do at this point with that. So I don't know if there, anybody has any thoughts, guidance.
How about a second email saying why it's important to respond because you'd like to acknowledge the
okay.
People love a good competition.
I know, that's what I thought it would have. Yeah. All right, I can send it out. I
sort of like your block would be the, you know, winner of this if all of you respond kind of thing, but
yeah, it might have gotten missed in the main, you know, one that always looks kind of the same. I'll send out another email. I did have, you know, June and then it would be, but I guess I can just extend it a month. Can I do, I mean, no one probably read that email. So if I extend it, no one's going to know except that one woman who called me, right? You know, she's probably the only one. Okay. I'll send out a second email. And veg out. I have been so extremely busy with work and many things going on in my own personal life that I haven't really done anything, but I want to shout out to Susan. Thank you so much for bringing it into the Planet Greens, you know, vision where they included that in their own website. And then, you know, I don't know if it's enough, if it's something, I would need help. I feel like I'm floundering a little and drowning a little with what I don't know what to do at this point, you know, fairly new to the group. So I just don't know if, I just don't know what to do. If, you know, how Ellie and Charles, they were very well, let's just, you know, we've got the 12, that's fine. You know, in my mind, I have a bigger view of it, but maybe it's fine the way it is. I mean, what do you think? I'm having a hard time balancing all of this. Because it's a lot, you know, mm-hmm. there, I mean, Lisa did warn me, it's a working group. I just was not expecting, I wasn't really expecting what that really meant. And I don't know, is it just the four of us now that are, because Lauren sat down, I don't even know how many commissioners there are left, really.
So we need a replacement for Lisa.
And Lauren?
Lauren, I believe is... you know, has stepped down, although I haven't heard officially what, when. So we would need two more, what are we, we're at 2, 4, 5, yeah, we need two more commissioners. So, you know, that was kind of part of the immediate activity of the commission is to kind of restock ourselves and kind of, you know, restart a lot of the work that's, you know, some of it's fallen by the wayside for various reasons, including the fact that we've had some, you know, commissioner turnover. So,
Maybe we can talk further about this, Eric, when you touch bases.
Yeah,
I'm feeling very overwhelmed and yet I don't want to lose momentum. And then I totally have, because I've just been swamped with other things going on.
So if it makes you feel any better, like that feeling is like the standard commissioner feeling.
I've been on lots of other commissions and I've never felt this overwhelmed, you know, with stuff, you know.
I 100% agree. I've been on many boards and so we do have to figure out, you know, like part of the design of the commission, not to get too philosophical, is to accommodate that, right? Is to accommodate the fact that we only have a certain amount of personal resources because of our complicated work and personal lives. So what work can we take on that is meaningful, that makes a difference, but doesn't drive us to leave the commission, frankly, right? Like we got to find that balance.
Right. I mean, I thought it was philosophical as I was in, I also have a lot of arugula. Does anybody want any fresh arugula? I just harvested. I have so much. It's coming out. I just have so much arugula. If anybody wants some, please stop by. I just have so much of it.
My arugula went crazy last year too, so.
Oh my God, I have so much. But anyway, the sustainability committee, I want things to be sustainable and in my own life sustainable. And that is a fine balancing act. And it's been kind of overwhelming. So
what I would say from my experience doing the tree trails things is kind of, first of all, what Eric said is be kind to yourself, right? Like seriously, it's what you're experiencing. It makes total sense to me because you did the same thing as we did with tree trails, is you created like a brand new program from scratch. And what we learned is like, you can create something cool, but it's almost more work to actually get people to use it, get people to participate, capture sort of information on how many people participated, what they got out of it. I'm sorry, like five dogs are walking by. So I would just say, don't worry about it. Just because you take like a break for a few weeks doesn't mean that the momentum will be completely lost, right? We can pick up on it. I was actually planning to do it tomorrow myself and try to understand more about like, remind myself, how do I find out which places to go? What do they say when I call them? And I think I mentioned this when you first created it, right? It was like, couldn't we have some way of having people share their stories or, say that they did it? So this kind of, it sort of ties into the thing that I've been presenting about the last 2 months about how can we as a commission, instead of each of us feeling like we're having to carry all the marketing and all the everything for all the programs, is kind of present it as a holistic thing, right? And, Susan's got the thing with the National, Wildlife Foundation thing, or I didn't put it on the agenda again today because I need to think more and come back with something. But that's sort of what I'm hoping, is that we can kind of provide more of like a group support for these things once it reaches that stage.
Yeah, I wonder if one of the new commissioners should be marketing.
We've talked about that before, actually, and I'm not totally aware of what the process is. I need Lisa's help on that. I am told there is a big list of people who are interested in, but like to Beth's point, we have to be strategic because if marketing's always been a gap. And Beth, we've talked about this before in previous, commission groups, that would be awesome to have somebody who could focus on marketing.
Yeah.
I think like a good example of that is like Shannon, who, right? Like she's got a very particular specialty that's very valuable to us, and we take advantage of it, and she doesn't really have to ask me to do anything else, which is good for her and good for us.
Yeah.
So let's.
I was just going to say, longer term, one of the things is looking to next year about the possibility of using some of those funds to get like an intern, AmeriCorps person or whatever, right? To sort of have a little bit more support for implementation.
Or more residents. I find it really helpful working with a resident who he just keeps things rolling, and then I come in every now and then and just keep telling him, let me know how I can support you. If you're overwhelmed, slow down. And if you want to do more, do more. And that's all he has to worry about. He doesn't have to worry about meetings or anything.
So. Totally agree, right? Like, I think the solution to kind of what we're talking about isn't one thing. There's a few things, and I know the AmeriCorps thing has actually come up in a more serious. When I met with Lisa to kind of download, and transition, that was like a big part of the conversation, was getting that AmeriCorps volunteer in to really kind of pick up some of that. Creative and administrative or whatever we're gonna choose to assign to that person. So that would be very helpful if that happens. I'll keep pursuing that. Okay, so sorry, we went down a little bit of but it's an important conversation, and like, and we probably need to have it more. And Carrie, when you and I talk offline, we'll kind of talk more strategically about that too.
Okay, does anybody want arugula?
I want arugula.
Okay, either give me your address and I can drop some off, or you can come pick some up.
Well, I don't want to make you do more work. You already
that's right. Grew it. I'm at 1010 Keystone. So I have a meeting at 11. I won't be here, but I'll be here most of the rest of the day. please come. I cannot eat at all.
I can walk the 2 blocks.
I know. I thought you were just 2 blocks down. Yeah.
I do have to note that for a time there were 6 people out of the 7 commissioners who lived on Keystone.
Right. And luckily we broke that little like thing up because that just wasn't healthy.
Yeah.
everybody but Beth lived on Keystone.
That is weird. That is so weird.
It
is.
Triangle.
Yeah, right.
Well, no, I'm far south of the triangle and Shannon's a little south, but.
Yeah.
It's good. We need diversity, so that really is really helpful. All right, Carrie, anything else for you?
That is all. Thank you, Beth, also for your kind words. That's nice, thanks.
Hey, John, do you have anything to add to the commissioner updates?
No, not for the reports.
Okay, I mean, we'll hit you in a second. So just real quickly, I have a very quick update. So first of all, good news, and I don't know if this was reported in the last meeting. I didn't make the last meeting, but the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus once again received a grant from the Solar Foundation to kick off a whole nother cohort of SoulSmart. So this is good because the feedback I kept getting, especially, from the village was, we want to go after SoulSmart Silver. We want to go after SoulSmart Silver. And my argument was always, that's great. But the reason it worked last time is because we had an entire organization helping us. Doing it by ourselves is a little bit difficult. And by the way, John did all the work for us last time anyway. So we have submitted our application to the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. I haven't heard anything yet. I would, we're a good candidate, so I would hope we would get chosen for this next cohort, which would be awesome because that means we would have help in trying to achieve silver. And silver is like, I believe is the sweet spot because we still have some real gaps in our residential solar. Like the application costs, for example, as well as the application process are still pretty complicated. And those have to be addressed in order to achieve SoulSmart Silver. So as soon as I hear something from the MMC, I'll let you guys know and give you an update on that. So John, get ready. It's not as hard because we've already checked a lot of the boxes off. Don't panic. I'm just gonna buy it. T-shirt that says "Don't panic"
the bronze was a lot of information.
Bronze is a lot, and actually through the bronze process we actually achieved a lot of extra points that is going to help us towards silver.
Oh, good.
That'll be helpful. And then May 6th I attended a meeting with the energy subcommittee of the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus about all the different pending legislation that's going on. And so that's like the Clean Energy Jobs Act, CEJA, right? FEJA was the Future Energy Jobs Act. This is FEJA 2.0. It's called CEJA. You guys, I'm sure you've read about it a ton because it's actually hot and heavy right now in Springfield. Path to 100, the Climate Union Jobs Act, and the Consumer and Climate First Act. So really quickly, what's going on right now in Springfield is there's essentially 4 different bills. And each of those bills, by the way, has usually a Senate bill and a House bill, sometimes multiple, that encompass that. And all 4 of these bills are like pretty identical. And so I don't understand like how that part of government works. But like there's four energy bills under consideration by the General Assembly right now. And something's got to give. Like they're all kind of negotiating with each other to try to, find enough common ground where they can all back, one or two of these versus, 4 of them, which is not going to help. And by the way, like Path to 100 is being pushed by ICEA, which is the Illinois Solar Energy Association, which is essentially the trade group for all the solar installation companies and things like that. The Climate Union Jobs Act, not a surprise, is an IBEW bill. So that's the, what is it? International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. So like if you do like all the different solar farms that are being built, the solar we put on our business, that's all done by IBEW. They're actually very, very good. They have a huge training center down south. And so they're pushing that. CEJA's main main sponsor is the NRDC, National Resources Defense Council. And then the Consumers and Climate First Act is the governor's office that has put that out into the assembly for consideration. If you ever want to know more about this stuff, I'm not super helpful on it, but it was very interesting because what they did in this meeting is really trying to distill down kind of the energy chaos that's going on and probably where it'll kind of settle. They're all good. You know, they all, of course, have deficiencies and pros and cons and stuff like that, but it's, you know, some good legislation is going to pass in the near future, which is very cool. That's all I had from commission reports. John, you want to talk a little bit about the solid waste survey, please?
Sure. So I did receive several responses to the solid waste survey I sent out, and then I sent basically the details of those responses this afternoon, just so everyone could take a look at the feedback. The survey, someone asked what the purpose of the survey is. It's really just to gauge what the residents think of the garbage service at this point and see if an RFP will need to be done, or if they are satisfied with the service, and then we would renegotiate with Strom Lakeshore Recycling. But I had met with Strom / Lakeshore Recycling a few weeks ago, and I told them I was going to give the Sustainability Commission's feedback based on a survey that we're putting together as a commission. And then I was going to give them kind of a preview of that survey just so they would see what we're going to ask people. And then they wanted to know if they could come to the next commission meeting to provide some input on a few different initiatives they have. They have, apparently they have a lot of offerings in terms of getting rid of waste, hazardous waste, electronics waste. They have a lot of different ideas for us. And they also really spoke up the fact that they have a really local transfer station right in Maywood. So they obviously said, well, if you go with another service provider, it would be hauled off to a much further transfer facility, which obviously isn't as sustainable. The one you have right next to you makes the most sense. Obviously, this is their perspective and everything, but I said I would bring it up to you guys and see if you would be open to hearing from them at the next meeting. But that's another topic. Going back to the survey, what I will do, since I received a lot of feedback, I'll try and take your feedback and kind of adjust the survey. One of the questions was, how will this be going out? It would be going out in kind of a SurveyMonkey format, you know, through an e-news. People would click a link and take the survey. But my initial thoughts were not to make it too long. A lot of times when you have a survey that's, okay, there's 8 pages I'm scrolling through, they just delete, they don't even finish it. So to keep that in mind, says we might have a lot of things we want to put in there, but I just want people to complete it as well. So mm-hmm. I'm going to pare it down and take your feedback and then send it back to you, if that's okay. But if there's any other major things you want to bring up now about it, you know, I hope to get that pared down and sent back to you relatively soon.
You know, I do a lot of surveys, and I'm more apt to do them if right up front it says this survey will take you 5 minutes.
Right, right.
You know, and then, exactly. You know, and then it invariably takes 2 minutes because, you know.
Yeah, yeah. And then someone brought up, I think it was Lisa, she saw one from another village. It was LaGrange Park, I think. And that one, I thought it had a lot of good questions, but I thought it, in my opinion, it was pretty long. I mean, it was 20 questions. So I think anything longer than that, someone's just not going to finish it. And you don't want to have them go halfway through it and then just give up. You know, something comes up and they just say, forget it. So.
Yeah, I mean, I generally agree with that, John. You know, you want to make it short. I think the other thing that will help motivate people to do it is if whatever e-news blurb you put it out in, just that the reason is clear to people, right? And that this sort of, their input is relevant by this particular time because the village is going to be either renegotiating its solid waste contract or whatever, right?
Right.
And you can select which questions of the many that people said could be on there based on what it is that you need to find out right now at this stage, right? Like, I don't know the timing on the renegotiation of the contract, but what do you need to know right now that will help inform your decision as to, one, sounds like whether or not to open it up for an RFP, and two, maybe there's a different survey later that's, you know, more the nitty gritty once you get into negotiations. I'm, you know, not sure
right.
what you need most right now. There was something else I was gonna say about the survey, but now I don't remember what it was. Oh, just that it's hard to get answers, right? I mean, I don't know what your time frame is, and you know the newsletter is pretty good now, so hopefully you'll get like a decent response rate. But I do remember when the commission was first formed and we did a survey that you know, we had to try a lot of different methods. Of course, now we don't have in-person events to go out to, so I don't really know what else to suggest. But I vaguely remember, you know, we had these little pieces of paper with like the survey thing, or we put up flyers at the library with a little tear off for with the survey, you know, address. So I'm sure you're aware of that some effort might be needed to get a good response rate.
Right. And, you know, garbage, it tends to be a hot topic, you know, whereas people weren't really aware of the Sustainability Commission, and it really had to be pushed out, right? The postcards and everything you're talking about, whereas garbage, people have
opinions.
A lot of times have a visceral reaction to that, have strong opinions.
That's true. I do have to ask you to clarify that thing about curbside pickup, that you're not talking about those of us who have alleys having to push our cans out to the curb, are you?
No. So the alleys are very simple. If everybody had an alley in town, I mean, it would be a no-brainer. They'd have the toters right there, no problem.
Right.
But what makes River Forest unique, as I think you all know, is the garbage men go up the driveway to anyone who doesn't have an alley and dumps it in a toter and wheels the toter back to the truck and empties the toter in the truck and goes up and down the whole block. Whereas almost every other community puts their toter to the curb.
You mean the residents have to bring it out
Correct.
To the curb? Okay.
Yeah, yeah, I see.
Right.
Not having a driveway, I didn't understand what the issue was.
Yeah. So that's why, frankly, that's why Roy Strom has been the provider for decades here. They built their whole system kind of around River Forest. They have the split trucks and the manpower all set up.
So
the last time this was bid out, which was quite a while ago, no one really came close to them because they just didn't have the setup to have manpower to go up and down driveways and have different trucks, you know, because Strom has the split trucks with garbage and recycling on the same truck. Almost every other company has dedicated trucks to either or.
Mm-hmm.
And so when we would review an RFP from a public works and a sustainability perspective, it just is way better to have one truck, obviously for emissions and also to not wear out the roads. So, and I'm sure that's what they'll tell us at next month's meeting, but it may be worth going through the process of an RFP just to get all the information.
Sure.
Anyway.
Well, so on your other question, I'm happy to hear from them. It's always good to learn. I learned a few things just now from you.
But one thing I thought didn't come through in the survey is that there's a trade-off. So, you know, we get this, I thought it was called white glove service. I didn't know it was, because curbside sounds like you would take it to your curb, whereas it's actually, for some people, it's just right outside their door, right? But right. like one thing I heard at some point was that for the same cost, we could have opt-out compost if we let go of the white glove service. And I thought that that was kind of lost in the, you know, like if you ask somebody, do you like the service? They're not going to say no, you know, but it's, but if you say it in a way that, you know, in exchange for this, you know, we would really like to make opt-out composting available to all villagers at the same price is what they're playing right now. That to me is a very different question.
Right. And actually I have heard that brought up before, and I brought that up to them, to Strom Lakeshore, the opt-out compost. I said, this is what I've heard up, brought up before. And so they're prepared to answer that. I think at the next meeting, it's not going to be blindsided to them. The thing about the curbside versus the white glove, if you will, there's a possibility that there could be an optional part of that. But that could kind of overcomplicate the contract. In other words, if some people on the block want you to walk up the driveway and some people want to put it to the curb, it may end up being a wash. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Where
yeah, you can't.
It's gotta be
the labor costs just don't work. Even add up. I think it would have to go all one or all the other. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, just another way of looking at it is that, you know, what are we as a sustainability commission pushing for? So, you know, if we were reinventing the system, we might say we have an opt-out composting with pickup at the curbside, not white glove. And you can have white glove, but this is the cost of it. Because, you know, as Beth pointed out, there are residents who don't have this service, yet we pay for it. So if we get composting on top of that, now we're paying, you know, extra for composting, and we're paying for a service that we don't use. So, you know, I'm not saying that would be a popular thing to do now, because people don't like to give up something that they have. But, you know, I think because these contracts are for a pretty long period of time, aren't they, like 10 years or so?
Well, the last one was for 7 years.
7 years. So yeah. We want to be moving towards incentivizing people to compost and recycle. You know, as we brought up in a past meeting, like in San Francisco, you only pay for your waste. So if you do compost and recycling, it's free.
Right. The other way to look at it is you could call it landscape waste / compost. So you don't have, and this is something we could talk to Strom Lakeshore about. Like, you don't have to use stickers for landscape bags anymore. You get to use your compost toter. Even people that don't compost, you know what I mean? That then they could kind of be hooked in, like, oh, okay, I'm sick of getting stickers for landscape bags, so this isn't that bad of a trade-off, you know?
Idea.
Yeah, the compost bin is great for yard waste. I mean, it's great, huge, you know.
So John, like, what do you need from us right now? Is this just all feedback? Like, who's doing the survey? Who's putting that together?
Well, I am. I basically took the last time we did a survey, which was 7 years ago, and tweaked it a little and then asked for your feedback. And so I'm going to tweak it again and send it back out to you guys based on what you have provided. And then I think I'm going to kind of reword the format so it's a little more user-friendly in terms of a link that goes out by a SurveyMonkey, that kind of thing.
Can I ask you, one of the questions was, does the entire village get picked up all on the same day?
Oh, did you ask that?
Yeah, is that happening right now? Are we all on the same day, whatever?
No, it's 3 different days. It's Monday, okay. Tuesday, Wednesday.
Oh, okay, I can't remember if that was LaGrange or us. I mean,
LaGrange had that question.
Oh, okay. Mm-hmm. The nice thing, not having all the garbage bins out on the street, clearly I'm lazy, so I don't want, you know, I mean, now I'm used to, I had an alley in Oak Park, and now I've got people that just come get the bin, you know, but it is a nice thing not to have all those garbage cans out on by the street, but I don't know how much that service costs at all. No idea.
Right. And I've done comparisons of neighboring communities, and the price difference, it's higher, but it's not that much higher. Not what you would expect. Mm-hmm. But the other thing is, and I brought this up to people before, if you do the opt-out composting, for example, those all go to the curb. So if everything if all those totos are at the curb, then my point was, well, why not have everything at the curb? You know, you've already got a compost container at the curb.
And I haven't heard any complaints about the compost being on the curb, so it just seems.
Yeah, I don't know. It could be something just want to get used to. Yeah.
So I think there's two different things here, right? There's like we're kind of having two different conversations. One is residents, and then one is a sustainability commission. Like the white glove service or not is more of like a resident conversation preference. It's not really a sustainability commission thing. The opportunity to have more waste not go to the landfill and have compost produced is the opportunity for us. And to Susan's kind of earlier points, people's, you know, preferences on are they willing to give up one for the other, or having their cake and eating it too at a higher cost or whatever it might be are kind of interesting conversations. But somebody brought up the question earlier, like what's our goal as a sustainability commission? And I think it's to promote and greatly increase compost. And so John, from that perspective, like that's our interest, right? Is like, if this is a 7-year contract, like shame on us if we don't make progress on compost. Education's only going to get us so far.
Right. So if you guys remember back to when this was kind of brought up before, when Julie Moeller was heading up this,
yeah.
It was driving compost, number one, and then it was getting rid of items that people would previously take to the recycling extravaganza.
Electronics, yeah.
Right, so then you have electronics, you have any kind of, I don't know, light bulbs, any kind of waste, special pickup. And that's something that George Strom is very aware of, because he was a part of that anyways. And so he's still a vice president with Lakeshore Recycling right now. So he's got solutions to all those things. They wouldn't be like a weekly pickup. It would be like a special request type of thing. People wouldn't have to drive them somewhere. They can get them picked up.
Yes. And I thank you, Eric, for sort of reframing or focusing our discussion, because I would say, John, that should be a key part of consideration of this contract, because I myself just spent a bunch of time researching where I was going to drive all my different things to, and it's really annoying.
and a lot of people don't do it because...
Yes, absolutely.
Well, if the focus is, though, I mean, shouldn't we have smaller garbage bins if we want to force people to do certain things?
Well, we don't want to force anybody to do anything.
Well, we're sort of forcing.
Okay. So that's like an interesting question on like what are the best practice strategies to reduce waste and/ promote composting? I mean, it might be something to kind of quick research.
So there are some limitations with the driveway backdoor pickup, whatever you want to call it, because you can't have a toter. The garbage men have to be able to pick up the bin and put it in their toter. So the maximum size is 32-gallon bin. I guess that's one way of keeping the garbage can small, even though people can have a couple of garbage cans.
Right. But that's an interesting cause and effect is like,
mm-hmm.
Okay. So when do you go ahead, Carrie? Sorry.
Okay. I mentioned this a long time ago when I was first on here, because I have some stupid ideas sometimes, but what if we went to not an every week garbage pickup? What if it was every other week I don't know. I know it feels stupid, but maybe it's not.
I think compost by its nature has to be picked up every week, because that's the real smelly stuff. But yeah, I agree. We could do like compost every week and trash pickup every other or trash and recycle every other. And I think that's another little gentle reminder to people to compost, because your trash is going to get pretty strong smelling if it only gets picked up every 2 weeks, especially in the summer. So mm-hmm. put it in the compost and it gets removed. You know, I know these things sound a little like heavy-handed, but I think habits are hard to change, and we have to somehow come up with a cost structure which is encouraging the behavior that we want and not, you know, rewarding people for.
And by the way, that's well said, Susan. There is controversy over industrial composting too. Like, my landscaper won't use it.
Really?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, because it's like, if we really want to get in a rabbit hole, like Google industrial composting, which is essentially what we do here. It's like, it's not best practice, right? Like, they, you know, they're using all kinds of very significant chemicals and things like that to.
Are you kidding me?
You know, that's why you can throw anything in there. If you're backyard composting, you have to be selective with what you throw in. The reason you can throw like a turkey bones and, you know, carcasses and all kinds of things in this compost is because it's not naturally turned into compost. It's, you know, it's so, like, I mean, my point with that, not to like throw us on another tangent, is just, you know, we got to figure out which battles we can win here.
Well, that's significant. Cause and effect is extremely, that's significant, really, I think.
So on that note, John, like, so one of the first questions was, do we want Royce Frum to come in and have a conversation with us? Because right. Like, what I would do is I would take a lot of these and kind of make these questions, including that last one, like, you know, like, how are you composting? Like,
yeah,
network. And by the way, is there a better way to do it? Like, can we have a more organic, you know, composting product and all these, you know? But what I don't want to happen, John, is for them to come in with like a PowerPoint presentation and go into sales mode.
Mm-hmm.
We don't need a sales. Right, we don't need a sales.
Why don't we put?
No, I had a good. I had a good conversation with them. In fact, they were very open, and they said, if anyone on the commission wants to come take a tour of our facilities or anything, we'd be happy to show them how we do
it. Field trip.
I would totally do that.
I would like to. I live right. Why don't we pose our question to them, since they, you know, we're sitting here reinventing the wheel, but they serve multiple communities. So suppose if they're willing to talk to us to say, look, our priority in renegotiating this contract is how can we make things more sustainable? How can we get more people to compost? How can we reduce waste? In, you know, in your vast experience, what do you see that works, you know, that we can offer at more or less the same cost as what we're paying right now?
Right, that's great, right? Like, they're the experts, so why don't we present them with what we're looking for and have them come up with solutions and go from there?
Yeah.
You know, maybe this is a good replacement for a survey, because then we come back with, like, you know, well, this town or village has been very successful in reducing waste and increase, and this is how they do it. And so that's how we sell it to the village, not that we interviewed a lot of people and unsurprisingly nobody wants to give up any service that they currently have.
So is any of us like a compost master? Do we, like, this was something Julie Moeller owned for years. Because the other part of what Susan is saying is there are very progressive communities around us that probably have done some good work with this that we could probably borrow, right? Whether it's Oak Park or whether it's Highland Park or, you know, Northbrook or Evanston or, you know, some of these people that have done all kinds
Riverside.
Of good work, sustainability, right? So, you know, it there's almost like a project in here to do a little bit of our own kind of reconnaissance. You know, nothing crazy, just to kind of figure that out.
Because, I mean, the one thing that you can't do is you can't survey people and then say, you know, we decided to do it this other way.
So, you don't want to ask people for feedback if you're not going to use it.
Well, if it's not taking us in the direction of our objective, yeah.
Okay, so, you know, out of respect for our time here, John, it sounds like we would like to get a representative. It sounds like it is Roy, right? Like, he's still...
It's George Strom. So,
I'm sorry, George, yeah.
Right. The company was sold, but Strom is part of their umbrella of companies, is what it's called.
Yeah, Lakeshore is a big kind of
garbage
conglomerate.
Right. So he wanted to be on the call, and he has another person as well. I forgot
their name. Can we book them for like a half hour for the next one? See if they can make that.
Oh yeah, they would be more than willing to do that.
All right.
I guess the balance from my perspective, obviously the commission's gonna have their input. The residents would need to get input as well. You guys are obviously residents, but the overall community. So maybe we hear from Strom on the questions you all have raised and then bring it back to the residents for their feedback. And it's incorporated into a survey at that point, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So,
sounds like a plan.
It does. Yeah.
Okay.
John, can you tell George Strom ahead of time that this is what we would like them to speak to, so they come prepared to.
Oh yeah. Okay. Yeah, I'll give them a call and tell them all about it. Yeah. Yeah, they're not too shy about talking about their sustainability items, so I think. They're pretty proud of it, so we'll hear what they have to say.
Can I ask a general question? When are we meeting in person next, or?
So that's on the agenda for.
Oh, it is? I didn't see it.
Oh, no, I'm sorry, it's not specifically. We were going to throw that in for the scheduled next meeting, whether we want to do that in person. Mm.
Throw it in at the end, yeah.
Yeah, so we'll talk about that in a sec. Okay, cool. And by the way, Lisa just texted me. She's still caught up at work, so she's not going to make the meeting, and she apologizes. All right, so any kind of last parting shots on solid waste? I think that was a good conversation around it. So
yeah, there's just so much involved in it. It's such a huge topic. So I think it'll be helpful to just have Strom at the next meeting to get all their direct answers.
Yeah, that's perfect. And yeah, I don't, you know, again, not a presentation, but like we're gonna have questions, and you know, we love further feedback on that stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So I'm going to jump into a quick community solar update. So we have this back on rails now, which is the good news. So where we are with community solar right now is we now need kind of the village's help to do a couple things. One is we need the village as well as village council, and we're working with John and others on this right now to basically look over the terms that residents would get, you know, from a legal perspective to make sure like that's all kosher. We then need the trustees to pass a resolution. I've given Lisa like a sample resolution. You know, it's ceremonial, but it's significant, and it's what is required for this program. So they would have to pass a resolution. And then once that resolution goes through, we have to submit a formal letter to the Illinois Power Agency, the IPA, saying that, you know, just formally, like we have, as a village, we are backing this, we've approved the resolution, you know, we're ready to go kind of thing. I don't know why there's all the formalities, but there is. At that point, it gets a little bit complicated because we then need to make some decisions on how we market this. So like, I don't want to get into that at this meeting, but we'll get into that at another meeting. But basically we're going, you know, everything goes through the IPA, but we're gonna have to set up our website. We're gonna have to decide what kind of verbiage we want to use for this program, which as you guys know, we've had conversations about before because it's complicated. And then we need to edit and approve the direct mailer that is sent out by MC Squared, because remember MC Squared is the handler of this. They are the program administrator. Then we would put it up on our website, and then we're off to the races. Then people can sign up for municipal community solar accounts. So we have a lot of great material now. So for example, Lake Forest, Bannockburn, Deerfield, Northbrook, and Skokie. We literally have their websites, like even the code and everything on like how they did it, right? So we have sample mailers that have been used by a lot of those same communities and some others. So we have like great stuff that we can kind of edit, we can, you know, we can massage to become our own, but we don't, we're not starting from scratch on any of this stuff, but it's gonna take some time. All right, so first thing that needs to happen is kind of this official village stuff. We're actively working on that right now. I hope in the next, that should be resolved. I don't know when the next trustee meeting is. We just had one, right? Actually, it's been a couple of weeks.
The next meeting is on the 28th.
So that's 20 days from now. The goal would be that we have the resolution ready to go, and that shouldn't be hard because it is pretty much ready to go, but have that on their agenda so that they could pass that. Because once that happens, then we are kind of, the ball shifts to us and we can start to really get this stuff moving. So I don't want to get in the weeds on this. What I'd say is if anyone's interested in helping with any of this, I know this is like counter to some of the conversations we're having right now about resources. Let me know offline. And really it would be like temporary, right? Like, so there's gonna be a push once the village passes the resolution to kind of get our stuff in order, get the mailer ready, edit copy, get the website, you know, looking dapper. I can't do that alone. So just let me know offline if you can help with that. Luckily that's temporary. So, you know, that'll be a few weeks of work, and then once this thing launches, there's not really much we need to do after that. Continual communication, actually.
Do you have a rate yet from MC Squared?
It's the rate. So it's whatever they're paying now, they would pay under community solar.
So there's no discount.
There's no discount.
You mean whatever they're paying through ComEd?
Yeah. So it is the ComEd rate, but you're getting the same rate, but you know, you're getting green stream, you know?
So, yeah, I mean, we spoke about this before, but since we've so recently went to the green aggregation program, and this is MC Squared as well, I think
right.
The marketing part of it would have to be, you know, we're not reaching out to you about the exact same thing. This is another option for you. Because I've gotten a lot of calls from people that get something from MC Squared on the aggregation item, and they're confused. And so I can just see a lot of confusion coming up from this one as well.
Yeah. I know.
We ought to be aware of that.
Same company.
Right.
I mean, I know I've confused the shit out of all of us, including myself, on numerous calls. And we probably know more than most. So yeah, that's a big challenge. The good news in that, truly, and you know what, I'll email some of what I'm talking about out, is that a lot of work has been done. When they hired the Power Bureau as the consultant for this, a big part of that was coming up with materials that kind of explain this. So there's good stuff that does a better job than I can do on explaining it to the consumer. But you're absolutely right. That is going to continue to be the challenges.
But the consumer can do much better off if they negotiate this themselves, because they can get a reduction and they have like $600 credits now that they're floating if you do it. So that, you know, that is a further complication. And although it's greener than aggregation, the village is then out $25,000 if, of course, there'd be people, and it wouldn't be the full amount, but up to 25,000 from switching from one to the other. So I think there's a complicated story behind this.
It is, and I think in the perfect world, our website would be like a choose-your-own-adventure, right? Like, there's all these different options, and if you go right, you know, this is what you're getting. If you go left, doing, because you're right, this is like a convenience thing. Like, if you don't want to have to go to negotiate with some sketchy company. You know,
but you can go to the same companies at MC Squared. Aren't they using Clearway?
No, the CS2 program is direct through, I forget what it's called, but it's not Clearway. Anyway, but your point is still 100% valid, which is people can do better on their own. And I think we need to be honest and upfront about that, that like, you know, you're more than welcome to go to market on this and you'll probably find some good deals out there and we should encourage that. But for people who want the easy button, this becomes kind of the easy button.
Also, when I saw an actual breakdown of the bill, it's minuscule because this is only off of your supply component and there's another ComEd rate in there. So I think on like a $200 bill, it was like a $2 reduction. So even though 20% sounds like it would be a lot of money, it gets chipped away pretty.
Yeah, because it's only like delivery is the same no matter what you do.
Right. But even under the supply, there's a ComEd charge. So...
Do we know if MC Squared is doing this in any other communities where they are also doing aggregation?
Yeah, they are.
They're competing against themselves.
Yeah, and so actually, I have a one pager that is specifically for MC Squared communities at Oak Park.
Oh, okay.
Right? Like Oak Park has both MC Squared aggregation as well as community solar. So yes, there is, and I have some good materials on how to try to sort that out for people.
So I just have a couple questions, and then like you said, Eric, we can talk more about this offline, but what is the anticipated timing on when we need to be ready to explain and market this? Like once the village passes the official stuff, are we on our own timetable to roll it out whenever we want, or is MC Squared on a no? We're, you know, like with the aggregation, John, I remember, you know, they had like it had to be mailed at such and such a time, and so we had to get our comments and ducks in a row before then. So who controls the timetable and what is the timetable?
So the only timing that matters, so the short answer is like we are on our own timetable. However, in order for us to get in kind of this, there's a word for it, what is it? First mover.
What?
So in order for us to get into kind of MMC's current negotiated program, because it'll sell out at some point, that we don't know when that's gonna happen and they're not really sharing kind of timing around that, so I think it would just be a total guess. But there's still plenty of capacity, and we want to get in on that because that's going to be the kind of the best rates. Even though I don't know how that it's the same as ComEd, so I'm not sure how that matters. But we would like to get into the first mover, you know, part of this. But other than that, it's really up to us. There's no other. MC Squared doesn't care. It's kind of like a, you know, the program doesn't have a start and an end, and whenever a community starts it is when they start it.
So to get into that first cohort or whatever it is, would your best guess be this is something that should be done in the next 3 months or 6 months or what's your best guess?
Yeah, so my best guess is, okay, so first of all, we could back into timing if we wanted to, right? So if on June 28th, the trustees pass this resolution and it takes us 6 weeks to kind of get this thing standing, maybe 8 weeks, July, August, September, like we could back into timing if we wanted. End of the year is like when I had a conversation a while ago, and I probably need to have a fresh conversation with the Metropolitan Mayor's Caucus. When I did a while ago, it seemed like we would want to get this done in 2021 in order to be in kind of the first cohort, as you said, first mover advantage. So that would be the goal, is to have this standing up by the end of the year and try to avoid the noise of the holidays. You know.
Okay. Well, that's really helpful because, you know, I'm still trying to figure out how it ties into the whole thing I was trying to figure out about how do we communicate the emissions inventory. We all agree that community solar was going to be our next big thing to say this is the biggest way to impact that part of it. But we also said we wanted to tell the story of all these other initiatives. So in my head, I guess like September, you know, October at the latest seems like a good timing to aim for if you wanted, you know, you don't want to ask people to make decisions about these sorts of things about the holidays. And I think Shannon and I really did want to get the story out there about the emissions inventory, right? So I don't know. It seems like there's a lot of very particular marketing that will have to be done for this. So I don't know exactly how this integrates with this overview marketing I'm thinking of, but I'm hoping when I sit down with Lauren and who volunteered to help with it and maybe a couple of student commissioners that it will all become clear. But in terms of the marketing thing, the other thing is, are you saying that we can market it to people who are in aggregation, but we don't necessarily want to encourage them to, or at least make them aware that if you switch out of this, you're actually impacting, you know, this other bucket of funds or whatever. But from a sustainability point of view, which one is the better one for in terms of actual energy usage or?
Susan, wouldn't you agree that it's community solar?
Yes, and part of the reason for that is the closer the project is to, you know, it has to do with transportation. Well, no, that's not really true. It's because, it was a different argument. It's because the RECs are more local. So they're affecting, you know, our environment, our specific environment, or closer to our environment than something that was just in the Midwest somewhere.
Yeah, it's a think global, act local type of argument.
It is greener, but you know.
Well, the community solar though, that's not RECs, right? The community solar is actually.
We're directly.
Yeah. Okay.
Directly buying power from a regional solar farm.
But the RECs could be setting up a solar farm in another state. I mean, the RECs could be It could include that.
RECs are more nebulous.
Okay. This is more right. So we can get into those weeds another time. It is going to be a pretty tough thing to communicate.
There's a lot of marketing around community solar. So, you know,
just community solar, I mean, this confusing piece about, like, you know, if you're in aggregation, what do we want to push people to do? But we can talk about that at another time.
Okay. So yeah, let's maybe, like, you know, we could take that offline for sure. The quick answer to that is I don't think we need to worry about the money we're getting from, like, you know, the MC squared. Like our job is to get, you know, is to reduce greenhouse gases and make our community safer and you know, and better. And so I think we put aside, like, any kind of cause or effect on the money we might earn, and, you know, try to communicate this in a way that's just what is better to achieve our ultimate objective.
So if we're going to use that principle, we'd have to apply it to solid waste too, right?
We should apply that to everything, shouldn't we? But in reason. That's always the asterisk. Okay. I want to keep things moving along here because it's already 20 after 8. So River Forest Tree Ordinance was next on the agenda.
Okay, I think Susan wanted to know about that.
This came up in the Development Review Board because Trinity, which I think we've talked in this meeting in the past, they're doing a very cool, very sustainable addition, connecting the gymnasium to their main building. But I guess what was revealed in this meeting is in the course of that, they're having to knock down 14 trees. And so they referenced a tree ordinance, which I had never heard anything about before. So I thought, why don't we all learn a little about the tree ordinance in our town? And also, it seems like they're going to be able to somehow achieve this with 3 new trees. And so I was wondering how that was possible.
Right. So any development in town, with the exception of single family homes, the tree ordinance gets kicked in if you're removing trees. So the way it works is, for this development in particular, they are removing 2 trees and they're putting an addition on the building, a small addition, but then they were planting 3 more trees. Well, the way the ordinance works is you identify the trees you're removing and then an arborist goes out and does an appraisal of the trees, and then a value is assigned to each tree. And that triggers a calculation where you could either pay for the value of the trees you're removing that would go into our tree replacement fund, or you could replant a number of trees equal to the caliper inch of the tree you're removing. So the trees they were removing equaled 14 new trees. And so they weren't removing 14.
That got mixed up. They're not removing 14
right.
trees.
Right.
That definitely got mixed up because I know
the equivalent of 14
trees. The resident I heard from for sure thought 14 trees were being.
Oh, okay. No, that's not what was happening.
All right. So there's two good sized trees.
Right, right. And then they were placing them with three. And there wasn't any concern about it at all. It's just kind of, it is what the ordinance is. So they have to follow it.
But the caliper of these three new trees is not equivalent to the 14 trees, so.
Right, so the caliper, because the trees were big, it would mean you would have to plant 14 trees, gotcha. Because when you plant trees, they're little, obviously, or you would pay, in lieu of that, the appraised value of the trees.
Okay.
But there's wiggle room, you could say, instead of planting, a lot of times you don't have room to plant 14 trees. So instead of planting trees, you plant three, which is what they were planning on doing. And then the cost of those three could go against the appraised value to lower that fee that they would have to pay. So that's just, that's how the ordinance works. Something similar happened at the Concordia, the new dorm that was put in a few years ago.
Gotcha.
There were a lot of trees they had to remove, and so they had to pay a fee.
Trinity so they do have a portion that they're paying in a fee? This is just an offset to that fee?
Yeah, I don't know exactly where it landed as far as the fee, but I just provided the information on the ordinance and the appraisal and all that. So. Okay.
Thank you, John. I just heard that.
Well, that's pretty cool that we have that ordinance.
Yeah, I didn't even know that existed. Susan, thanks for asking that question.
Is there any chance of extending that to single family homes or some form of it?
Actually, I think many years ago it was, and then it was taken away. But I don't know the story behind that. I think it was, probably a political decision where they didn't want to hassle residents for every tree they wanted to remove on their lot, that kind of thing.
But it could be just significant, it could be trees
right.
of a certain,
I've heard
stories of family coming in, raising all the trees on their lot and then saying, oh, change my mind and moving to another lot. So seems like it wouldn't have to be the same one, but maybe that's something that we could look into the future to save these trees that, we keep. It's another way of telling the village that we think these, big old trees are really valuable. But maybe it would kick in, but it would kick in at a bigger size than this current tree ordinance. I don't know, just something to think about.
Yeah, for sure.
All right, cool. In person versus not in person. So the trustees have started to do in person meetings. John was the last one, the first time they did that.
Yes, that was the first time that everyone. Well, almost everyone was in person. So yeah, it's very recent.
Are there other commissions that are doing in person as far as you know, or just curious?
I think there are, but I don't really know. Yeah. I can only think of this commission. I can't think of anyone.
Yeah, he's dedicated to us.
John, that was a trick question. You did great.
So much capacity.
Yes.
So just, this is really for the group, on your comfort level on meeting in person for our July meeting. I'm
willing, I guess. I don't know. I'm vaccinated and it's not like there are very many of us and we don't usually draw some gigantic crowd. It's not that far to go, but.
I have a family reunion that is right in that week of the next, in July. So, but I'm happy to meet in person. I probably won't be at the next meeting.
Yeah, but generally speaking, for the one after that.
Oh yeah, I'm fully vaccinated. Are we all fully vaccinated? Is that politically incorrect to ask? But.
I don't have to answer if they're uncomfortable with that. I am vaccinated.
Yeah, so.
Susan, do you have an opinion on this?
I'm happy to go in person. The only thing that I've noticed is that attendance sometimes is better if there's a Zoom. Like I can imagine Shannon being able to, you know, drop in for 30, 40 minutes, but she can't get away. So I like the village trustees are doing, I'd like to retain the option that.
Yeah, I think that'd be awesome. Because you
could have, if you have, you know, I don't know, Carrie, if you could do it from where you are, but.
I could. If we met in person, I wouldn't be, of course, be able to be there. But
if we had in person with a Zoom option, you might drop in.
Well, how would that work?
So the technology, John, so it is, the room is now Zoomified, isn't it?
Yeah, you know, I would have to figure out how to do that because I would have to juggle the Zoom and the minutes and everything, you know, so.
And actually, you know, the village is probably I think it's live stream, it's not a Zoom.
Okay.
So I know the room is set.
So you mean like the trustees are there in person and they're live streaming it so residents can watch.
They're not all there in person. So yeah, I don't know. I don't know how that would work.
The way it works now is John Pape is working the Zoom, all the technology stuff like in the back of the room.
Yeah, there's like a producer.
And, yeah, and I don't have an extra
John, person. if somebody else ran the Zoom, then we could. We can't just ask the same person to do everything.
I have two teenagers; they're both happy to do it.
No, I can run a Zoom.
But you got to participate too, though. So,
well, there's not much to do. You just let people in and out. That's
It might not be that complicated. I'm just saying I haven't done it. I haven't juggled the.
All right, I think that'd be awesome. Because I agree that that's the best of all worlds, even for speakers and things like that. Like we could have experts
I know.
And all kinds of things.
Yeah.
So is there a big screen then in that room now where people who are showing up virtually can be seen and they can see everybody else?
That's the thing. So it has to be recorded, you know, so that it's easy for me to do it right now. It's recording on Zoom right now. Everybody's on Zoom. But if there's people in the room and there's people on Zoom.
Nice.
Got to record both somehow. Yeah. And well,
you know, if next meeting, if Rice Drum is going to come next meeting, then I say do it on Zoom.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay. What we'll do is between now and the next meeting too, we'll look into the tech side of it and kind of.
Yeah.
And you know, the other thing that we should consider, Luke's not saying anything, but we should consider the students because I don't want to ask this. I don't think we should ask the students whether they're vaccinated or not. I guess they would all be eligible at this point, but
we can ask them if they feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Okay. Another kind of variable to throw in there just is we as a commission, we traditionally meet like 10 months a year. And, you know, so like Carrie reminded me, because like the hardest months to get this group together is usually like July, August. Because it's just everyone's got their vacations and all those kinds of things going on. Now Zoom kind of changes things, right? So I'll kind of think about that as well. If like, you know, initially my thought is like, because we have Zoom, we might as well have meetings, but we'll find out what the tech capabilities are of Village Hall and kind of go from there. Last thing I wanted to throw into is pre-COVID, we did usually a couple times a year, we did some social get-togethers. Mm-hmm. You know, they're not meetings because we don't talk business. But, you know, one thing I think that has been a huge bummer, well, in life in general, but for this commission is like, I mean, commissioners have come and gone that I've never seen in person. Like, so it's like sad. So, I mean, that's another argument for doing it in person, but it's also an argument for all of us, you know, trying to find an evening where we can go grab some apps and cocktails and get to know each other.
That's very nice. Cause I haven't met any of you.
What we can do is we can go to.
You can bring me arugula salad.
You can come over and get some arugula.
You can pretty much ferment anything, so I'm sure we can make some pour out of the arugula.
Yeah.
Okay, so I'll work on that as well. I know your lives are similar to mine, where even finding one night a week to do anything is near impossible. But I'll throw out, what are those surveys called? You know, where you pick dates?
Like a doodle poll?
Yeah, I'll throw out a doodle poll with a bunch of options and we'll figure some out.
Great, thanks, Eric.
Thanks.
And John will buy.
I'm not taking the minutes.
okay, any kind of parting shots? We're like right at 90 minutes, which is great. All right, awesome. Good meeting.
Wow, good first meeting.
Yeah.
In an hour and a half, Eric. How'd you do that?
Whatever. The only thing I'm good at is.
We won't tell Lisa.
does somebody want to move to adjourn?
Move to adjourn.
Second.
Okay.
All right. Adjourn
to great job, soon. Eric.
Thank you.
Thank you so much, everybody. We'll talk soon.
Bye.
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 Guys.